solemn and serious this portion of Scripture is, if you read it with me. It's one continuous warning, really. One continuous warning from start to finish. I need this. You need this. We need this. But you know what a sad fact is? This is a sad fact. I know this is true. Those who need it the most usually don't hear it. That's a sad fact. God help us all to hear this morning. Now, this is written to the church at Corinth. Church at Corinth was a thoroughly modern city. It was living in a modern day. It was living in a generation that had everything at its disposal. Living in a very prosperous time. But perilous time. It was a wicked generation. Corrupt. Society at this time, society was taken up with eating, drinking, sex, sports, materialism. Sound familiar? The title of this message is All Things Remain the Same. All Things Remain the Same. Now, honestly, I do not prepare messages with anyone personally in mind, ever. I can honestly say that while preparing these messages, no one single person's face or name comes to my mind. So this is not for any one person in particular. However, I hope every person in here takes this very personally, starting with me. Paul, right before chapter 10, he said, I keep my body under subjection, lest by any means I preach to others. I'm telling you, and I'll be cast away. So really, he starts with himself, doesn't he? Lord help him. So things haven't changed. God hasn't changed. Man hasn't changed. Man hasn't changed. And God's word to man hasn't changed. Paul uses these people. Now think about this. This was 2,000 years ago, nearly. He's writing this nearly 2,000 years ago. But man, he's talking about a people, another generation that lived 2,000 years before that. So things haven't changed, except men are always guilty of the same thing. All right, now verse 1, let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. How that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. Don't be ignorant. Someone that's ignorant is someone that's not aware of what's going around, all around them. Someone who is just not very observant. They're not listening, usually. Someone that's ignorant will go on doing the same things they've always done. Someone that doesn't learn will just go right on. You know where the word ignorant comes from. Ignore. Someone that's ignorant is willingly ignorant. They hear, but they ignore. They ignore. And so he says, don't be ignorant. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And what's this cloud? Well, the story is of the children of Israel. The children of Israel for 40 years wandered through the wilderness, all right? And that's a picture of a modern man's lifespan, generally. He's 30 years old, he begins, he's a man, and he lives another 40 years. Wandering through this world. Children of Israel, all right, wandered for 40 years through the wilderness, and they were under a cloud of mercy. They were under a cloud of mercy. God spared them. They were rotten people. They weren't worth sparing. They were ungrateful, unthankful, disobedient children of wrath, even as others, the rest of the world. But they were under mercy. God was being merciful to them. I mean merciful to them on every hand. And they were under the sea. That is, God made a way. They went through the Red Sea. God made a way for them to cross over. God provided a way for them to escape Egypt and to cross over on dry land to get to the Promised Land. They had this way. Purposed plan made clear before their eyes. Evidently set before. There it is. Walk in it. 40 years. Now, 40 years of relative blessings. 40 years of mostly just kindness, goodness, provisions for which they were not worthy of any of them. Blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. Right? A few relative minor bumps in the road. A few relative troubles, mostly due to their own sin and ingratitude and their own ignorance. They ignored and got into trouble. Verse 2, it says, now they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. In other words, God had given these people the finest man on the planet Earth to lead them. The greatest man to walk the planet. That's what God said of him. He's the meekest man on earth. God's man. Raised up by God, given to them to lead them. And everything that man said was from God Almighty. But they got tired of him and his voice became commonplace. They didn't hear it. They ignored Moses' voice, no matter how he spoke. Verse 3. And they did all eat the same spiritual meat. They did all eat the same spiritual meat. And verse 4, did all drink the same spiritual drink. What was it they were eating and drinking? What was their food? You say manna. They ate manna. They ate quail. They drank water out of Christ. The word man doesn't live by bread alone. Man lives, really lives, by the Word of God. Our Lord would go many days without eating, fasting, not letting others know it, but going without physical food. And they asked him one time, said, Lord, eat. You need to eat something. They noticed he hadn't eaten it. He said, I am. He said, I have meat to eat. that you don't know of. I am. But they ate, that they did. They ate. They ate good food. They ate bread. They drank water. They drank from a rock. Verse 4, it says they drank of that spiritual rock, capital R. I noticed you, Brother Stan, when we read that. Your eyes lit up. That rock that followed them, that rock that led them, that rock who protected them, that rock from whom they received all spiritual blessings and physical, was Christ. Every one of them. Just like everyone in this room has heard message after message after message after message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I can say this without a doubt, and not just pertaining to me, but every preacher that stands up here, if you ever walk in this building, you'll hear Christ preach. Huh? You'll hear Christ preach. And you come hungry, if you come hungry, you go away filled. What's the problem if you're not hungry? A couple of things. I know it's so. You know it's so. One of two things. You're either sick, or you've been snacking on something. Huh? You filled up on something else. And when you snack, what do you eat? You don't eat ham and taters. You eat snack food, junk food. And you get filled up. And you're not hungry. And you go away empty. You understand? Either heareth. He that hath ears, let him hear what the Scripture says to the church. Well, they all ate. Some tasted, but they didn't swallow it. They all ate, they all drank. Some weren't thirsty. They didn't drink it deeply. And, well, you see the picture, don't you? And that rock that followed them, that rock that was with them, there's a rock with them everywhere. This is true. It was a cloudy pillar that led them by day. A big cloud, whatever it was, led them. Miracle. It's obvious that God was with them. Very obvious. By night, a pillar of fire lightened the way. The darkness to the world, but light to them. They all could see clearly God's in this place. The angel that followed before them was in that rock. There's a rock that rolled along with them. Isn't that amazing? Honestly, that rock was a person. A person. God's in this place. One time, Jacob got all bent out of shape, all out of whack due to his own rottenness. And the Lord brought him back to a place called Bethel. A place where the rock was his pillow. A place where he saw the angels of God descending on the ladder. A place where God spoke to him, made promises and all that. He got all bent out of shape. God, and forgot his God, and got all in a mess. And his family, everything around him was absolutely a mess. Why? It's his own meanness and rottenness. God brought him back to Bethel. Back, put his head on a rock. Back to Bethel. And that rock that followed them was Christ. Surely God, and here's what Jacob said after he woke up out of his, like David, I've been so foolish. How'd I get like this? How'd I get in a mess like this? And he woke up. Jacob woke up and said, surely God was in this place all this time. And I didn't know it. How could I be so ignorant? Well, verse 5. Now, they all, you see this, they all drank. They all ate. They all were under the cloud. They all, every person in this room is right now under the sound of life. Words of life. It's going to be a savor of life. That's the reason Paul said, oh, who is sufficient for these things? That's why Paul said that. Oh, who is sufficient for these things? I want to utter life, and it's going to, somebody's going to live, and somebody's going to be damned because of it. Oh, that's the reason. You know why Jonah didn't go to Nineveh? He knew God would do what he'd do. He didn't want it. Lord, don't make me be the one to bear it. Well, he says, so they were all under this cloud. They all, this rock followed them all. It's all, they all ate the same spirit. They all drank. That rock was Christ. They all, but, verse 5, with many, many. How many? Every adult. 20 years old up. Every single one. Except Joshua and Caleb. Didn't go in. Many. God was not well pleased. They were overthrown in the wilderness. Something overthrew them. They didn't overcome. They were overcome by it. They didn't overcome the difficulties. The difficulties overthrew them. You see? John, our Lord, said to John, he that overcometh, I'll grant to be with me. Now, verse 6. These things were our example. These things happen. Why? Our example. To the intent, to this purpose, read it with me, to this purpose, these things happen, to this purpose, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Lust being desire. Turn with me very quickly to Hebrews chapter 2, okay? Hebrews chapter 2. Do you know how much space in Scripture is reserved to talking about the children of Israel wandering through the wilderness? Do you know how much? Most of it. Most of it. The vast majority of Scripture is dealing with the actual pilgrimage, or the talking about it, or the warning of those doing the same thing. Old and New Testament. Think about it. I thought about that before I made that statement. It's, in the book of Hebrews, beginning with chapter 2, and the rest of the chapter, the rest of the book is full of just warning about the Hebrew children. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, he says, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard. You know, the older we get, the closer we get to being with God Almighty, shouldn't we be more serious than ever? Huh? Should we be less taken up with this world and more serious about? More earnest heed to the things that Christ is near. He's at the door for every one of us, not just 70-year-old people. He's at the door. We're in the last of the last day. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard. Life. Lest at any time we should let them slip. 4, the word spoken by angel was steadfast. That is, it happened. Whatever the angel said, it happened. It came to pass. God said it. It happened. And it's going to happen. It was steadfast. And every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Everything happened to all those it said it would happen to. All those who did this, who did not do it. It happened. It happened. Read on. How shall we escape? Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect, same word as ignorant, ignore, so great salvation? So great. Look at chapter 3, across the page, chapter 3 of Hebrews. Like I said, all of these remaining chapters, practically. Verse 6 says, Christ is a son over his own house. Whose house are we? Christ, son of God. Whose house are we? Sons of God. If. Are you interested if you're a son of God? Are you? All right. We are sons of God. If. Now he's going to tell us. He's going to tell us what we mean if. If. Read on. Verse 6. If we hold fast the confidence. When you hold fast to something that's held fast is something that is stable. It's solid. It's like a tent. It's where does the word come from? A stay in the service or in the Navy. A stay, the stays and so forth. You want to hold fast something. You tie it down. Or a tent. You put stays in the ground. You want it to hold fast so that winds come along and don't blow it over. Hold fast. That means it's secure. It's stable. It's not going anywhere. It's not tossed to and fro. It's held fast. All right, when you hold fast, it means you hold tight to something, don't you? You don't want to let go. You're holding it fast. You're holding it fast. If we hold fast the beginning of our confidence. What's that? That's the gospel of Christ. That's this gospel of Christ. Closer we get to glory, the tighter we ought to hold. The more we ought to just let go. You can't have it. You can have everything else. Understand? You take everything else. You can't have this. Hold fast the beginning of our confidence. Read on. And the rejoicing of the hope. Rejoicing of the hope. He said, don't harden your hearts. Verse 8. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, or that is when the children of Israel provoked me. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, they're journeying through the wilderness. They tempted me. And they provoked me. Verse 9, they proved me and saw or tested me. Saw my works 40 years. They saw my works for 40 years. And when it was over, I was sick of them. That's what he's saying there. I was sick of them. I had all I could take. And speaking as a man, speaking in human language, I had enough. I said, all right, that's it. He says to us, now these things are our example. And let me say this with all the compassion I can muster, considering myself. Take heed, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. And departing from the evil God, exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Are you with me? Lest anybody be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Now, things aren't sin. We read back there, and you can go back to our text. evil things. Things aren't sin. Are they? No, there's no sin in things. Paul said in Romans 14, there's no thing evil of itself. Kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink. You don't go there because you do or don't. You won't not go there because you do or don't. It's not things. There's no evil in things. What's the evil? In loving things. Desiring with all your heart things. You know, he said, now listen, what he said there in Hebrews. He said this. He said, if we hold fast the rejoicing of the hope unto the end, harden not your heart through the deceitfulness of sin. Hardening of the heart. Let me give this illustration. If a man or a woman or a young person, for that matter, walks up one, two flights of stairs, and they're winded. They're tired. They got heart problems. Understand? They used to call it years ago hardening of the arteries, didn't it? That's an old term, you nurses, that's an old term for arterial sclerosis or whatever, the buildup in the arteries. Right? The hardening of the arteries. Walk up two flights of stairs without huffing and puffing and tired. I gotta lay down, I gotta sit down. Got heart trouble. If a person can go through two messages and their attention span is so short, and they get quickly tired of hearing, got hardening of the heart. Hardening of the heart. So he says many, many perished. They perished. Why? You know, there's a scripture that says this. Why will you die? Why will you die? Why will you die? Like a hungry man dying from hunger when there's a whole table right in front of him. Wouldn't that be just horrible? Can you imagine? How foolish could that fellow be? Don't look at anybody else right now. Do not look at or think of anybody else. Like I said, I need it. Let's think of ourselves only. Now, look down verse 12. Let him that thinketh he standeth. Verse 12. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. There's old so-and-so over there. He ain't going to look. He's good. Let him or her that thinketh he standeth take heed. Lest he fall. Lest it fall. Well, many perished. And, my. Let's go on. Verse 6, it says, now these things were our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Lust is not just sexual lust. People, you can lust after anything. You can, that means to be filled with desire for anything. It can take on anything. It can be a thing. It can be a person. It can be a place. It can be a pursuit. Anything. He said, let us not lust, let us be filled with desire after these evil things. That is, the things that will bring evil upon you if you lust after them. You see? These things, here's a good illustration. A rose is a beautiful thing, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing. God made it for us to enjoy, to look at, enjoy. And it's good if you just caress it and say, oh, it's beautiful. Look at it. But now if you grab hold of that rose, and somebody said, don't do that, and tried to pull away, and you hold that much tighter to it, it's going to hurt you bad. It's going to hurt you bad. So things are evil when we absolutely lay hold of them and say, I won't let go of that. I've got to have this or I'm not going to live. If you continue that, you'll die. It's a matter of fact. So verse 7. Don't be idolaters, as some were. Don't be idolaters, as it is written. Now here's their idolatry. What do you think of when you think of idolatry? You don't think... when you think of idolatry, you think of some native in the jungle dancing naked around a statue, don't you? Bowing to, cutting themselves, doing some crazy things before a statue. That's not... That is idolatry, but that's not what he's saying here. Children of Israel... Paul later on said, here's idolatry. Remember what he said is idolatry? Covetousness. That is having, wanting so badly what you don't have. Not being, and that's always a result of not content with what things you do have. I want that, and it consumes you. Until you desire it, you've got to have it until you're just, oh, this, I'm tired of this. Give me. It's idolatry. Let me try to see if I can illustrate idolatry. And this was made clear to me. Our Lord said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Everything else. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. God's a big part of my life. Then he's not your God. With all thy heart. God is my Christ, our life. Colossians 3 says. Oh God. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy strength. Spiritual life. Is what? It's the life of God. This is what God puts in a human being. You see, we're born natural with no thoughts of God. We're born like an animal. We're born like an animal. Dog, cat, horse, whatever it is. The base instincts. That's all we want. Eat, 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 eat. Sex, eat. Play, bones, chase, fun. We're born natural, like let's do this, let's do that, let's have fun and all that. No noble thoughts, no thoughts of God, all right? Spiritual life, when God comes in, a new creature is created in a human being. The Spirit of God, the life of Christ, the Son of God, who came down here, lived in the flesh, but did he live in the flesh? No. He did, but he didn't. He was in this world, he was not of this world. He partook of this world, but it did not lay hold on him. He used this world, but he didn't abuse this world. He had to think about his job, but it didn't consume him. He had daily needs, but they weren't lusts. And the life of God that God puts in a human being, his Christ-like spiritual life, is to where they begin to think about God. First time ever. A dog stands on his hind legs with noble thoughts, reason, rationale. A human being begins to think like a son of God. Things that are higher, things that are nobler. God's in his thoughts, conscious of God. A mind with thoughts of God. A life filled with thanksgiving to God. A heart that goes out in gratitude to God. A heart that loves to think about God, loves to praise and sing and study and be about the thing that my Father, if it's a son, I must be about my Father's business. It's not perfect in any of us, but it's there. He said, it's there. That's spiritual life. Did you get that? Did you understand that? It's a mind, it's a heart, it's a life that is Godward. It's Godward. Set your affection, Colossians 1 said, on things above, not on things on this earth. Whatever you set your affection on this earth, your affection is going to be dashed to the ground. It's dust, and whatever you set your affection on is going to be dust, and you're going to be brought down into the dust because of it. But he that is rich toward God, nothing and no one can bring you down into the dust. Set your affection, your heart, your mind on things above where Christ sitteth. Unsearchable riches, eternal blessings, all blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In just a few days, this dust is going to be dust. And this dust, this mortality, shall put on immortality. And what difference does it make how much dust we had? What difference does it make what private debt we loved or had or didn't have, or what job we had? What difference did any of it make? Who or what consumes our thoughts? I say you and I watched a preacher preach it not too long ago, and this the whole time. The whole time. And I thought, God help me not do that. Don't let me do that. You. Me. Lord, us. Forgive us our trespasses. Lord, help us. We are guilty of it. Huh? We are guilty of it. It says they did all sit down to eat and drink. Didn't they? All of them sat down to eat and drink. And wrote, let's play. Let's play. Anything wrong with eating? Well, no, our Lord did. Anything wrong with drinking? Well, no, our Lord did. Recreation? Well, no, the Lord said, let's come apart in the desert place a while. Let's relax. No. What was it? That's all they thought about. That's all they thought about. Their God was their belly. And so God said they're idolatry. You understand now what idolatry is? Their God, their whole consuming thoughts. They woke up in the morning and went to bed at night thinking about me. Well, I'm just not happy. Verse 7 says, well, verse 8, don't let us commit fornication as some of them. And this is what it is, sex. Is anything more applicable to a generation, any generation? Huh? Can you think of anything? Can you think of a time when people were not more consumed with this? Huh? I can be just real blunt, but you can see it on TV and everywhere. It's time somebody from God's Word spoke up and called it like it is. Right? Not afraid to deal with it. Sex sells, they say. Sex sells. So then they're selling sex everywhere, all over everything. They're bombarding it with us. Us with it. You have to admit, you know, it's what captures you. The very word itself, it just sticks out. Whatever you're reading, it just sticks out. Something about the word itself. And people sell themselves for sex. He said, fornication, and that's any being taken up with sex. Some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000 people. 23,000 people. Did they learn their lesson? I don't know how many people have died of AIDS. Millions. They die every day. People learning their lesson. Yeah. Yeah. Will we learn? Oof. Please, Lord, help. Help, please. Now remember, it's not the actual act. It doesn't have to be the actual act. They tempted Christ. Verse 9 says, they tempted Christ. Neither let us tempt Christ. What do you mean, tempted Christ? What does that mean? I was going to have you turn over, but I'm running out of time. I've got to hurry. That is, they made continual demands of him. They made continual demands. I do want you to turn quickly, okay? Numbers 21. Please, would you turn? And, you know, I thought about this message. I'm leaving town. I may not make it back. I thought, is this the last message you want to leave to these people? Yeah. Moses was about to be killed. What was his last message? Anybody know? He said, you're going into the promised land. Beware that you don't forget your God. When your houses are big, your lands are plentiful, fruit in the vine, grain in the... Beware. All these things are going to come on you, just like God said. In Numbers 21, they tempted him. They tempted Christ, it says. Because whoever God speaks through, we're actually testing him. You understand? Not the man, but Christ himself. And they made continual demands. Have you ever had a child that tested you? Somebody listening, a mother, understood that. That's how I knew someone was listening. Ever had a child that, let me ask you again. Have you ever had a child that tested you? Now, more of you heard that. That means they put you to the test. They keep testing you. Have you ever said this? You're testing me. You ever had that? You're testing me. That's what that means. They testing him. Testing his long-suffering. Testing his patience. One more time, he said. I'm going. Verse 10. And they murmured, it says in verse 10. Numbers 21, verse 4. Here it is. Numbers 21, verse 4. And they murmured and were destroyed. Verse 4 of Numbers 21 says, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. Now, I'm not going to turn around that map. You remember? It was a long journey down there through that wilderness of sin. It was a long journey. But everybody had to go through it. Didn't it, John? Everybody went through it. Did they have to stop and hunt and plant and... No. Did they have to stop and get a temporary job and work several days of hard overtime to earn their money so they could keep on going? No. It's all provided for them. Everything is freely given. Now the road, now understand, they walked. That was a difficulty for them, walking. And it says there in Numbers 21, I lost my place. It says, look at this. It says in verse 4, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. They were much discouraged. In other words, they were all saying, I'm so tired of this. When are we going to get there? I'm tired of this. We've got it so hard. And it's hard. I can't take any more of this. why am I going through this? They were discouraged because of the way. Rightfully? Huh? Did they have a right? I'm going through so much trouble. It's so hard for me, so hard. Where did they come from? Where were they? In a pit, making bricks with their feet, 7 days a week, with a little dry bread, and no hope whatsoever, without God, without hope. Boy, when they started out, whoopee! When they first heard the sound, we're going to the promised land. The happiest day of their life. You got to walk. I don't care. I'll just skip. First few days, I'm so happy. Really? Just stand. Stand. Really? First few days. Hidden this wonderful, was going a long walk. Won't be anything. God said it, we're free. After a while, why we have to go through this? And it said in verse 5, look at verse 5, the people spake against God and Moses. They couldn't get to God, but they could Moses. He said, why have you done this? You brought us out here. You brought us out here to die in the wilderness. They said, and we don't have any real bread, any real water. We want some real bread. We want to make some real bread, man. Not content with such things as we have. We want to make some real bread, man. We want some real water, man. We want something real. I'll be satisfied when I have something I really want out of Egypt. It's Egypt I want. That's what I want. I miss Egypt. Did you have anything in Egypt? Well, we hate this light bread. We're getting tired of this. Go back to our text now, all right? Go back to our text. I got it so hard. Why am I going through this? Murmur. Complain. And look at what he says in compassion. In our text in 1 Corinthians 10, he said, don't murmur. Verse 11, all these things are an example. They're written for our admonition. It's about all over, you see. It's about over. The end of the world. Verse 12, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Is there a murmuring spirit in us? Verse 12, or 13, he says, there's no temptation. No temptation. No trial. No difficulty. No problem. No thing you've ever been through, not one single person has ever been through one single problem or trial or trouble or difficulty with a husband, with a wife, with a child, with a job, with anything that all of God's people haven't gone through from all eternity. Every one of them. Some, most, more than we go through. Yeah, but you just don't know my trouble. You don't know what the trouble of a single man. Paul was never married. He sat in a jail. He was in his 50s. Now alone with no children, no grandchildren, no nothing, nobody. And he said, I'm happy. I've fought a good fight. I'm ready to depart. Life's been good. The Lord's been good. Yeah, but you don't know my woman troubles. That's that wife. That's the whole trouble. Ask Peter. Peter was married. He said it'd be eventually where I've had a wife. I've had a mother-in-law. I've had a family to feed. Went 3.5 years without a job. Went 3.5 years without a job.
had a wife and kids at home to feed. Think I was worried. Yeah, but you don't know what it's like to live where I live, live and work that job I live. I live in Sodom. Ask Lot!
We don't live in Sodom. Lot lived in Sodom. Ask him. Ooh, vex my soul every day. Vex, 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 vex. Well, if I could just have this or have that. You just don't know. I don't have enough. If I could just have that. Ask Solomon. He said, I had it. And it's really better not to have it. It'll take away your heart. Ask David. He said, keep my soul from riches. It'll make me forget God every time. You ever run into a lot of money? Now, if you're like me, a lot of money to you is about $1,000. Honestly. You, somebody may be saying $100. $1,000, whatever. Let me ask you honestly. When you obtained that, what was on your mind? Spend that stuff? Where can I spend that? Go to bed thinking about it and wake up thinking about it. Huh? Get any kind of new anything. That's what's on your mind, what's on your heart. Ah, boy, we're all so guilty, aren't we? And it doesn't satisfy. Now it's not 1,000, is it, Brother John? It's got to be 5. Well, if I could just have 5, then my troubles are over. Well, no temptation has taken you. You've been through it. None. But such as is common to man. But God is so faithful. He's so faithful. He kept telling the children of Israel, just keep walking. Quit your murmuring. I don't want to hear any more murmuring. But we're hungry. Okay, here's bread. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We're tired of this bread. Sick of this bread. Is that all we get, bread? Stop that murmuring. Okay, here's meat. Quail. Oh, quail. Now we're happy. Quail. Oh, quail. I love quail. Sick of this quail. If I could just have chicken. God said, that's it. Honestly, that's what happened. You say, well, if we're in Christ, but yeah, that's a big if. What's proof of it? Not be ignorant. Not let these things slip. We repent toward God. You know, our Lord came preaching, John came preaching repentance toward God, didn't he? What's that? Lord, against thee, here's David, his repentance toward God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. I'm wretched, vile, what I've done, what I am, all I've ever done and am is against you. I'm not sorry for being caught. I'm not sorry for the consequences. I'm not sorry because I don't have this. I'm sorry because I'm sorry. I'm sorry because you've been so good to me, so merciful to me, so kind to me, so gracious to me, so provided everything for me, led me all these years, and look at what I've given in return. Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You're going to be clear when you judge me and right when you speak against me. Everything you say about me is right, and I'm all wrong, and I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy spirit from me. Let me be like the children of Israel. Let me quit my complaining. Bring forth fruit meet for repentance. David wouldn't have repented if he hadn't have brought forth fruit, meat for repentance.
Quit your murmuring.
Okay. I go right back to it. They didn't repent. And so he says, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee. Flee from the wrath to come. Flee from idolatry. Why does he say flee? Well, when you flee from something, it's something pursuing you, isn't it? After you. After you. That's what you flee from. And this world is not after God. Our hearts, natural hearts, aren't after God, don't have an inclination toward God. Our flesh is not after God. Our flesh is after flesh. That's the reason he says, starve the flesh. Feed the new man. Starve the old. Evil communications. These fellas we run with, these people around the world, they're not after God. Not after you being after God. Flee. You remember Pilgrim and Pilgrim's Progress, where he was going toward the holy city and all of his neighbors and his family and everybody was pleading with him, you don't have to go. You know, you can be religious and stay at home. Don't stay with us. Don't be. He put his fingers in his ears. What did he do? Ran. I'm not going to listen to you. And he was crying out loud to God, out loud. Life, life, eternal life. Ran toward the gate just as fast as he could. Not looking back. Like Lot's wife. Don't look back. Yeah, but I gave up. Don't look back. It's all crumbling. It's all failing. There's your everlasting city. There's your everlasting happiness. There's your everlasting joy. Great, exceeding great reward. Look right on. Look right on. Don't look at the troubles. Run with race. With patience, the race is set before. Looking under who? Who's our supreme example of it? The Lord Jesus Christ. No home. No family. No house. No wife. God. He said, I've got joy. Well, that's my party message for you, okay? Who did you have the ears to hear? She. Why are you sad faces? There's hope. Let's lay hold of the hope, the beginning of our confidence that's set before us. While there's life, there's hope, John. While there's ears, there's hearing, John. While there's a heart, there's one to receive it. Huh? While the gospel's being preached, the joyful sound, somebody's hearing it. While there's mercy, somebody receiving it. While there's grace to help. We have not because we ask not. But we ask amiss to consume it on our own. Lord, grant us the grace to ask for a right.
Oh, my.
That's for me. All right? If nobody else heard that, Lord, let me hear it. Let me hear it. Let's sing. I've got, what is it? I Am Resolved. What number is that? 389. 389, by God's grace, that is, we resolve no longer to linger, charmed by this world's delights. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my soul. I will hasten, flee to Him, glad and free. Glad and free. Ah, Lord, give us freedom and gladness. Huh? Let's stand as we sing it. 389.